see it in the movies, in the paper, and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle, the lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad, and the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watchmen for Jesus Bible study for tonight. My name is Thomas Gambell. For those just joining us, and welcome back. Well, we're doing this twice a day. Those of you that come twice a day, wow. What, are you glutton for punishment or what? Well, anyway. Welcome. Tonight's an important Bible study. A very important one. It's accumulation of years. Based on David Wilkerson, based on a study of David Wilkerson, study of Osborne, T.L. Osborne, a study of John Rice, E.J. Daniels. Why prayers are not answered. Church members who make God sick, the invitation tonight, and what is a real Christian, and how to be saved. And I'll follow up with Jesus is coming soon. It's a full night tonight, an hour and a half. Very important. This is accumulation of everything. This is really the most important. It's not freeze-dried food. It's not ammunition. It's not Agenda 21 or extraterrestrials out there and all that stuff. All that's going to go by the wayside when these tribulations actually begin. Whether it's between now and 2017 or whenever it starts, nobody really knows. They've been trying to start this since Nimrod, Alexander, Adolf Hitler, Caesars. They tried to kill Jesus, and Herod failed in that. when he was a baby. They tried to kill Jesus on the cross. They failed at that. Tried to make a new world order in 1999. By the year 2000, failed in that. But they accumulate knowledge. God keeps them hopping. They can never rest. They can never stop. If they do, they go to the abyss. They must always keep changing their frequencies of their supernatural glow. They can never stop. The mass murders, deaths, destruction they cause is the energy they use in the alchemy to manifest or to channel inside this world. They can channel through human beings that's willing to give up their bodies for that period of time, which takes away from their life force. You ever, you remember hearing about those who die from spontaneous combustion? Now you know. That's why. They're dealing in the supernatural, and they shouldn't be. In a certain level, they're not prepared for. And the increase of energy by being possessed is too much for their iron oxide bodies made out of carbon. Therefore, they self-ignite from the inside out because the demon that's on the inside. It affects them physically. Demon is not a moral, philosophical issue at all. It's physics, chemistry, biology, science, alchemy. That's one thing. You see, that was the purpose of religion and philosophy all along, was to put religion or the demons, the supernatural beings, into a philosophical representation. One of the greatest, and you've heard this before, I'm sure, as a cliche, but one of the greatest or the most ingenious things that Satan ever did was convince people he never existed in the first place. That serves his purpose. Because by ignoring his existence means he can act on whoever it is and cause them to fail. And the good deeds hide it and give a person a false sense of security. Those you read about in the news and the oh wow type news where a waitress will get a $10,000 tip or Oprah gives away cars and all this stuff, I tend to think that's those folks involved in the highest level that think they can buy their way into heaven by doing good deeds. This is not going to happen. We're going to talk about this tonight. What is a real Christian? And it doesn't have much to do with Christianity. People have got this all confused. It's not about Christianity. Christianity is a religion. Hinduism is a religion. Buddhism is a religion. Shamanism is a religion. Freemasonry is a religion. Luciferianism, Satanism, these are all religions. Christianity is a religion. Being a born-again Christian is not about religion. The term religion used in the Bible doesn't have is not the same context. But a church is not four walls or religion. It is where two or more are gathered in his name. That's the church. They got all messed up by design. People are loyal to their man-made systems. I'm a loyal Presbyterian. I'm a loyal Catholic. I'm a loyal. So what? It's got nothing to do with nothing. It's about following Jesus. And they use corrupted Bibles. And they hang on to those suckers, man. They won't let go of them. Study them. They read them. And don't even know they're missing 200-300 verses out of them. Take it out. I've yet to understand this. Just basic knowledge, just basic, is that when I'm reading the Bible and I'm missing verses, they skip over the number. They just took it out. Why would you want a Bible that's missing a verse or 200 or more? I would always be concerned. Well, I'd always be worrying about it. I just keep checking the King James. I know it's got all the verses in it. So I'll read my NIV and keep a King James on the side. Say what? What about the idea of getting rid of your NIV or the New American Standard or whatever and pushing it aside and reading the King James because it's got all the verses in the first place? Oh, I don't like the these and thous. Okay. Well, get your index card and write thee down and thou down and whatever other words you don't know and put a definition beside it. What a concept that is. And what about praying about it, that God will reveal to you what it means and trusting him to reveal it to you? Wow, what a second concept that is. The these and thous have a specific purpose. There's a teaching on that. It's not just these and thous sound nice and theatrical, but there's a purpose for the these and thous that the other new today's terms, yours and mine and hers and all that, it doesn't fit. And the words today are modernized. Oh, we got to modernize the old Bible. Says who? No. You got to take the words today and go back to what it meant back then. Because that Bible was inspired by God. The ones today, no, they're not. Look up the word meek from the Bible perspective and then go to Daniel Webster's dictionary, whatever, and look up meek. Completely opposite. That's by design. So when you modernize the King James Bible, you're actually changing the meaning of the verses. And the rub of that is they know it. That's why they do it. Westcott and Hort, 1870s, 1890s, is responsible for that. They were two Freemasons, and they were, in fact, ordained, bona fide, grade A, broom-flying warlocks. Yeah, they were. Card-carrying warlocks, Freemasons, and they were the ones redesigned the Bibles that gave us the current Bibles of today, except for the King James. And they did it on purpose to corrupt even further the Bibles from Origen to Eusebius to Jerome. Roman Catholic Bibles corrupted from the beginning anyway. And that's the truth. It's not, I'm not judging the Catholics, for goodness sake. I'm telling you what it was. It's as simple as that. What's done? Douay Rheims. They used the format of the Matthew's Bible, Bishop's Bible. But King James started fresh with over 5,000 documents that the others didn't have. And it was perfectly translated by real scholars, even of today's standards. Because today you don't have real scholars. The ones that are, they're kind of obscure. Oh, they're around, but they're obscure. Scholars coming out of the major colleges and universities today literally come out of humanism and Marxism. Controls all the colleges and universities. I have this documented. This is not a speculation. It's not making a general overline statement. That's based on ignorance. It's based on fact. Quotes and dates and names. Confirm. Every college and every university in America, including 100% of every public school, is a school of humanism and Marxism. Every public school. I got it by quotes. Charlotte Iserby confirms even the 1980s that our education has been dumbed down. But what I'm saying is above and beyond that. All education has been set up by Freemasonry, based on humanism and socialism and Marxism. That's fact. You see, Satan is prince of this world, but he's not king. And he loses. That's it. Okay, Bible study tomorrow is no. So that's the way it is. And this is all provable. It's evidentiary. Tonight, talk about real Christians, and Jesus is coming soon tonight. And let's get started. Lord, we come today before you in prayer tonight, Lord. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for our brethren. We pray for our family members, Lord, that you'll intervene. Take away these maladies, Lord. Put them through, give them divine appointments, Lord, that their heart will be softened. They'll take Jesus as Savior. That, Father, they'll strengthen their faith, strengthen their prayers. Lord, we pray for children that are being abducted, Lord, for these witchcraft, for these rituals worldwide. Father, we pray for them. We pray for that woman over in Sudan, Father, that you'll find a way to get her to be released from the heresy that's being put down upon her, and that she'll be released to her husband and not be hanged, as the Muslims are planning, Lord, that you'll intervene there. We pray for those others tonight, Lord, that we've lifted up to you before for healing, for their families to come together, and to cover with the blood of Jesus those that are seeking to walk in your path. Lord, that's why we pray tonight. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, tonight we plead that precious, uncorruptible blood of Jesus over ourselves, over myself. And Father, you hear the prayers of each individual. And also our families. Father, that those not saved, we plead the blood of Jesus around them. That, Father, will divine appointments will loosen their heart and bring them in the path. And, Father, we pray over everything that belongs to us. We ask you, Father, for giant warrior angels and those to be loosed from heaven to surround us and protect us, Lord. And as your war club and weapons of war, we ask you, Father, that the Holy Spirit to break down, undam, and blow up all the walls of protection around all these witches and these warlocks and these wizards and Satanists and all the like. And, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break the power of these curses, these hexes and vexes, spells and charms and fetishes, the psychic prayers, their psychic thought and all witchcraft, the sorcery, the magic and voodoo, and all mind control, the jinxes, the potions, the bewitchments, the death and destruction that they're causing, the sickness and pain, the torment, the psychic power, the psychic warfare, and the prayer chains to be broken up, and everything else being sent my way, those is praying in their heart, and the family members. We ask you, Father, that you return these curses back and the demons to the senders right now back to them sevenfold and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. And, Father, we pray that these lost souls now will find the light of your Son, Jesus, and that their own snares and their own traps have been set against themselves. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we ask you, Father, now to loose them from all mind control of Satan. And, Father, we also ask that you bind the Holy Spirit right to their hearts and serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus. And so they, too, may be set free from the bondages of Satan. And, Father, we pray on. Father, the full armor of God, we pray on that belt of truth. And, Father, we follow your command to put on this full armor, because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of the evil of this unseen world. And, Lord, we also pray on the breastplate of righteousness. And, Lord, that it will protect our vital organs and our inner man and cover our integrity, our spirit, and our soul. It'll guard our heart, for it will be the wellspring of life. And, Father, we ask you to strengthen and guard the most vulnerable places in our lives and that which is right, good, and noble, that we won't receive a fatal blow from the enemy. We pray on the gospel shoes of peace. Father, we do choose to stand in the shoes of your good news and on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ and receive your peace now from the sole of our feet to the crown of our head. Father, we pray on that shield of faith and that to our hand now. That every attempt of the enemy to destroy our joy, we ask that our faith in you would make it flame out and to extinguish every flaming arrow that would come against us or our family or this ministry. Lord, we pray on the helmet of salvation. And so this will protect our minds from the thoughts that can lead us astray. And Father, we take up the sword of the Spirit. That's the word of Almighty God in the King James Bible. And we pray this offensive weapon in our hand and ask, Lord, that your word will be fitting for every encounter we face and put the words in our heart so they'll come out of our mouth, that we'll spread out the word of truth. These things we pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, you know, y'all heard many times, I imagine, probably more times maybe than I have. Some of y'all very studious out there. You've heard John 8:32. Very famous scripture. John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John 8:32. You know, a knowledge that we have is gained through study. And a knowledge of these great truths of redemption, sanctification, it makes it possible for God to fulfill all his promises for you. Through God's promises, they pertain to those who accept Jesus Christ as Savior. It's open to all. People ask you sometimes, will you pray for me to be healed? Will you pray for my situation? Will you pray? And you know, the Catholic priests, they say, tell me, my son, what's your problem, or daughter, whatever. So you tell them, and so they're supposed to pray for you, even though you have no idea what they're up to. You know that the Catholic Church has got heresy working through it. And every religion is an offshoot, a watered-down version of Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church doctrine is the cover since 325 A.D., give or take plus or minus a decade here or there, of the ancient mystery religions to hide it until such time that they can resurface, called the New Age movement. That's big picture. Secular humanism, worship of self, eventually to become a worshiper of Lucifer, including atheists. In the final social cataclysm, as documented, Christianity, Islam, and atheism will all be extinguished. Atheists will be the last, because they'll use atheists to foment their needs and requirements, and then they'll force atheists to worship Lucifer or die. This is documented. Will you pray for me to be healed or whatever? Well, you can say yes, but a question you might want to ask, are you a Christian? A real born-again, saved man. Not just, are you a Christian? Oh, I go to church. I believe in God. Yeah. Are you born again? Are you saved? And say, well, I don't really know. Mm-hmm. When they shuffled to the door to jump out of the airplane, and let's say the taskmaster said, did you pack your parachute? I think I did. Or if you are shuffling to the door and you see the parachute packer there for you and you say, did you pack my parachute properly when you're shuffling the door? I need to know as you're shuffling to the door. I think I did. That's the wrong answer. And bad timing, too. So if they say, you're a real saved man, you born again, and they say no, then the question might be, why do you ask God to heal you or help you or work with you when you don't love him enough to serve him? My prayers are never answered, I hear someone say on the radio this, I think it was last night or this morning, it was last night. My prayers are never answered. Well, it would be the question, well, what have you done to serve God? Are you born again? You expect your prayers to be answered, and you don't have faith in him? What's the deal here? Sometimes the answer might be, well, I just thought I could be healed. Well, you may be healed and you will be healed, but first accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He'll be the one to be the healing. Why should you ask God for more strength to serve the devil? Hoo-hoo. Maybe by not healing you, he's doing you a favor. Boy, that's a concept, isn't it? If you will serve God, he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Rapha. Rapha. R-A-P-H-A. R-A-P-H-A. He'd be delighted only to heal someone, but fulfill every one of his promises to you and keep you happy the rest of your life. You'll have trials and tribulations. That's to strengthen you. He'll not do like he did, like his father did that six-year-old boy when he's scared to go down deep thing where you skateboard and you go flying down. The kid was afraid. Golly, Pete. And it's on film. It was on a video, and the father didn't know he was on video, and he kicked the son. He got frustrated, kicked his son down that, you know, those things that you go in like a U up, down, and up with skateboards. He just kicked him down it. Well, the boy's looking at a divorce, and he had to apologize. Man, all kinds of people come down on him, lost his job. He's heading toward a divorce. Man, I tell you what, well, God won't do that to you. He won't just kick you down. He'll put a whole lot on you now, but he won't put more than you can handle. So what do you say to someone? Have you accepted Jesus Christ? Let me pray for you. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? If you haven't, why do you think, why should he heal you? Only to serve the devil more. Matter of fact, you may be one who desires healing for your body, yet may not have the joy of knowing all is well with your soul. If you are, remember that no time is as good as now to be saved. I call it getting around to it. Draw a circle, put T-U-I-T in the middle of it in capital letters, and you got your round to it. So get around to it and get with it and get her done. Get born again. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Now is. That puts conviction on people. That's one of the reasons why people don't want to accept the so-called fallen angels and demons. Instead, they like to accept them as aliens. You know why that is? Because if they accept them, man, you're right, they're really demons out there. They're real demons and they're fallen angels. That begs the question or brings up the point that, well, maybe the Bible's correct. Which brings the next point of, goodness, I better become born again or I'll be judged. So nobody wants to be thinking that they're going to be judged. So it's easier to really accept the idea that there's aliens out there. But it's impossible. You can't believe in aliens like a lot of theologians and Christians do, that God has aliens out there. They keep forgetting. And I fault, as if I'm somebody, but my own personal thing, I fault the preachers for this. Man, they're going to get hammered worse than some murderers and rapists. These, oh my goodness, these preachers, rabbis and priests and preachers, man, God's going to hammer them, man, hammer them bad. Because it's the second death that he's concerned with is eternal. And they're not leading them toward repentance. You got some out there that are, but man, there's not many. So a lot of these preachers out here nowadays are getting this idiocy from schools of theology. I went to school of theology for 7 years, and who do you think you are? Blah, blah, blah. Well, you ought to learn something then. Because most of them fell asleep in school, I guess. They get mad when I say that. But, you know, but really, when they come up with Calvinistic ideas and they come up with aliens and God used evolution. God used evolution. That ain't what the Bible says. God also created aliens out there. Billy Graham believes this. 1993, 1997, in an interview, he confirms, oh, there's got to be other life out in outer space. I had people tell me this 2 months ago in a Bible study I went to, the preacher, his head, I thought he was going to break his neck, turning at me when I said, there's no aliens out there. He turned his head like I thought he was going to snap his neck. Oh, Tom, there is. I said, no, sir. No, there's not. And one of the followers in the Bible study said, Tom, of course there's aliens. I said, no. I said, because if they were, somebody tell me about original sin. So they have Adam and Eve too? Silence. What? Did I say something wrong? What about original sin? Did Adam and Eve cover all everybody else? Why are we the only cursed planet in the entire universe? Somebody tell me about original sin. I don't make too many friends that way, but I'm not overly concerned about that. People keep forgetting about original sin. That's extremely important. There isn't any aliens out there. They're demons with bodies made by corrupted DNA. Anyway. But you know, God is waiting to bestow his blessings on your life, though. He wants to give you these blessings, but you gotta accept him as your Savior and have faith and trust in him. Even in the times of trials and tribulations. Those who are wealthy, those who go to church and all these things that are wealthy and they go to the TBN things, the mega churches, all these. A lot of times they're placated. Freemasons, that level, they believe they're being blessed, but in reality they're not. They're being placated. All wealth you make God will set up divine appointments in your life somewhere around the way to help other people. But every person who has never accepted Christ as Savior must remember that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Right there it is, man. It is black and white in Luke 13:5. Luke 13. Yes, there. I can't make it any clearer. Or God can't make it clearer, excuse me. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now, how can you misconstrue that? He says it twice. 13:2. And Jesus answered and said to them, in red lettering, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things. In Luke 13:3, he says in red lettering, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? And he says it again. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Man, when God says something twice, that means something. Jesus said, John 3:7, ye must be born again. So, Paul say, quote, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Tonight's an important lesson. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Do you have any new things about you? Do you do things differently? Well, no. Well, there's your answer. When you truly invite the Holy Spirit in, you're going to change. Some things will remain the same, but they'll be controlled, but they'll be used to keep you closer to Jesus. But some things will change. He'll get rid of them to let you know he was there and is there. You know, every person may know that he's saved, and every person should know this. When they start doubting it, shall I say it? You got a problem. The Bible says we know that we've passed from death into life. 1 John 3:14. Man, don't play with this stuff. This is not something to play with. We know that we are passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. I have to say it. This causes me to think. The difference in protecting your home when they come up and you got to kill somebody because they come in your house. At what point do you do that? For me, it's a struggle. I'm trained. All my life, I trained to fight. I've trained to kill. I've trained. God never gave me the opportunity. I do know the exhilaration of breaking somebody's bones. I know that very well. I know the exhilaration of knocking somebody cold, dead turkey out. But I've never known that part of killing. I don't even kill animals. I'd never hunt unless I had to. I'm proud of myself being able to kill a human back in the days, but God saw to it that I never did. I do know that once you kill a human being, you completely change. It does something to you. I know this. You're never the same ever again. To be able to kill, in the military, we would train them to dehumanize the enemy. Call them certain names and dehumanize them to make it easier to kill them. So if you humanize them, that makes it difficult. You got to dehumanize your victim. There are many things now which we shall never know, but thank God we may know that we pass from death into life. The very moment you become definite in your actions, follow the scriptural patterns exactly, you'll know this. And how blessed you are that is to know this well within your soul. Some may ask, how may I know that I'm saved? I hear this all the time. How may I be sure that my sins are forgiven? You know, the Philippian jailer asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And so Paul and Silas, he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Acts 16:30-31. In Mark, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now that I need to explain quickly. I'll tell you why. Because many use this verse here to say, well, you must be baptized. You have to be dunked in water or you're not saved. There would be two results of this preaching. Some would believe that be baptized and be saved. Some would disbelieve and be condemned. But verse 16, for example, is used by some to teach the necessity of water baptism and this for salvation. And you know it cannot mean that for several reasons. You got Baptist churches that differ in this. The thief on the cross was not baptized, yet he was assured of being in paradise with Christ, Luke 23:43. That's number one. Number two was that the Gentiles in Caesarea? Anyway, they were baptized after they were saved, Acts 10:44-48. And Jesus himself did not baptize. John 4:1-2. And you have a strange omission if baptism was necessary for salvation. He didn't say anything about it. He wouldn't have left that out. And you know that Paul thanked God that he baptized very few of the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 1:14-16. And you know, an impossible thanksgiving if baptism was essential for salvation. And you know, you got about 140, 150, give or take, plus or minus, passages in the New Testament that they actually state that salvation is by faith alone. That's significant. There's no mistakes in the Bible. And this is no mistake. You see, no verse or few verses could contradict this overwhelming testimony. And you know that baptism is connected with death and burial in the New Testament, not with spiritual birth. Baptism is connected with death and burial. It's not connected to spiritual birth. So then what does verse 16 actually mean? Well, it may mean that it mentions baptism as the expected outward expression of belief. It's baptism is not a condition of salvation, but an outward proclamation that the person has been saved. And also, you can be saved by the Holy Spirit, baptized by the Holy Spirit. You see. And those who believe the gospel, Jesus describes in 16:17-18 as, do the signs exist today of being born again? You see, the signs given, it does appear to be intended primarily for the apostolic stay age group or age, but before the complete Bible was available in written form. The signs found in the book of Acts was casting out demons, new tongues, but not tongues as of today where they do that babbling. That's not tongues. Handling serpents. That was back then, not today. Drinking poison without harmful effects, not recorded in Acts, but attributed to John and Barnabas by the church historian Eusebius. So they get to drinking poison. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, what Jesus told Satan. So that counteracts that one. Lay hands on the sick for healing. So what's the purpose of these particular miracles? Well, if you go to Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. See, before the New Testament was available, its completed form, men would ask the apostles and others for proof that the gospel was divine. So to confirm the preaching, God bore witnesses with signs and wonders and various gifts of the Holy Spirit. But what did he say to Thomas? You believe because you've seen, but blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe. Everybody today wants to see signs and wonders. Oh, they're going to see them all right. Yeah, but it's going to be put in a different direction. Satan uses signs and wonders. That's what what did Jesus say? You believe. But blessed are those, you believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who've not seen and still believe. He never forgot about that. So, what's a real Christian? Well, before I go there, you know what Paul said? In Romans 10:9. Says it that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If thou confess with thy mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Peter said in Acts 2:21. What did Peter say? Acts 2:21. By golly, he said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How much more clear can you get? Every scripture that we've talked about contains a definite promise that you shall be saved. It's only reasonable that if you will be definite in meeting these requirements, you shall be saved. And what's one indicator? There's a difference in what you do. And what's the indicator of that? Some family member saying, man, you're acting strange lately. You're not doing what you... Hey, let's go out and get drunk, man. I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do it? We've been doing it for a long... What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Man, you ain't acting right lately. You know, like the old John we used to know. What's going on? You see, there's your testimony. That you've changed. It's that change that comes over you. So what's a real Christian? Well, a real Christian is any man or woman or child who comes to God as a lost sinner. They accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They surrender to Him as His Lord and Master, confess Him as much before the world, and strive to please Him in everything and every day of His life. You become obsessive. What's wrong with that? So if you come to the Lord, come to God, realizing that you're a lost sinner, how dare you say that about me? Who do you think you are? Here we go. You see how it works? That pride, boy. It builds that pride. And you notice on TV, this is what we're raised up on. Materialistic things. Look, I watched this. I didn't watch it. I just, the commercial break things or whatever on my computer, YouTube and all that. The Bachelorette, or The Bachelor, whatever. They got one looking like Prince Henry or Prince William or Prince whatever. I don't know. Redheaded boy. And there's got this kid looking like him. And they got the bachelorettes, like, I don't know, 15 or 20 of them or whatever. And they're all, so they bring them in, and it's a hoax. And they fools them, from what I gather from it. So they bring them in, they have all these little things set up. It comes in as a helicopter, and he's got these dogs out there and bodyguards and all these things. And he's talking to me, he's from England. But he's got American girls there as the competing for his affections or whatever. Ooh, there's a lot of materialism going on. So they're showing you on the TV programs how materialistic we really are. Love is based on what you have, not what's on the inside. It's a test. And they have on TV Vince Lombardi, pride. I used to be in football, played football for 7 or 8 years. Marine Corps, pride. It's pushed on us. Ever realize that? It's pushed on us. It's something we accept. Man, you don't have no pride. Well, yeah, I do. No, man, you don't have any pride at all. How about that? Huh? How does that work? We're not supposed to have pride. Woo, is that opposite or what, man? That's totally switched around if you think about it. Satan's saying, you got to have pride. This is amazing. I mean, really, if you really think about it, it goes against everything we're taught. Everything we're taught. It don't mean you go around being a slob. What's the world you want? I don't care. It's going to happen to you. I don't care. We're not talking about that. You're being demonized. How dare you say that? I take pride in what I do. You see how that works? A born-again Christian can never be possessed, but they can be demonized from the outside. You can put a curse upon yourself by contributing to certain events and certain things, wearing certain clothes, whatever, listening to certain music. And that opens up a portal. That's why you put on the full armor of God. It's very important. So when you say to someone, if you come to God realizing you're a sinner, how dare you say I'm a sinner? They don't like that none. David Wilkerson did that when he first started off as a young 20-year-old. Nikki Cruz. David Wilkerson got out there. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That is, do you believe with all your heart that God laid all iniquity on Him? Isaiah 53:5-6. That He bore your sins and the penalty of your sins on this cross. 1 Peter 2:24. And that your sins are forgiven now because Jesus died in your place. He could come back to life. We can't until He brings us back. So the question would come up, have you surrendered to Him as your Lord and Savior and your Lord and Master? Are you willing to do His will even when it conflicts with your own desires? That's tough. Have you confessed to Him that you are a sinner? I am a sinner. That means you have to let go of your pride. That you believe He bore the penalty for your sins and that you confess Him as your Savior and Master before the world. The time's coming real soon that you're going to be tested with this up close and personal. Just like Peter was, just like all the rest of them were. Do you love me, Peter? He said. Peter said, yes, I do, Lord. Peter, do you love me, Peter? Yes, I do. He asked him a third time. Three times with the cock crows, he denied Jesus. But before that, Jesus asked him three times, do you love me? And he said three times, yes. Huh. He's making a point there. For us to read also. You ask yourself, is it your determination to strive to please Him in everything, every day of your life? I've actually been told, I'm not just making this up, but Tom, we don't know what you're going to do with you. I said, why? I worry about you. Why? Because you're too obsessive. Somebody actually told me that, a family member. I said, really? Yeah. You go too far. I said, really? He said, yeah, you do. I said, interesting. Huh. If you can sincerely answer yes to the questions we've talked about tonight, then you may know on the authority of God's word that you are now a child of God. John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now there also is a key point. The sons of God mentioned here in John 1:12 is not the same sons of God of Job 38:7 or Genesis 6:2 and 6:4. The sons of God of the Old Testament were the fallen angels, the hierarchy, the community, the great white brotherhood, the space aliens, the ascended masters. But they're really the fallen angels, the sons of God. Now, after the New Testament, all the way up to the birth of Christ, to the death of Christ, the resurrection, after that, at the Pentecost, then you accept Jesus, you are the sons of God. But through Jesus Christ, it is spiritual. There's a difference there. Oh, massive difference. Well, for example, the sons of God of the Old Testament, Adam and Eve, that were created, sons of God that were fallen angels or angels in physical form created, they didn't have any belly buttons. Adam and Eve didn't have a belly button. There's no need for a belly button. What causes a belly button? Umbilical cord. So if they were created, they had no umbilical cord. I don't think God would have did cosmetic surgery there and said, well, I got to give you an umbilical cord like everybody else. Umbilical cord is there because you have an umbilical cord, the belly button. So if you see somebody out there without a shirt, no belly button, maybe it's plastic surgery. You can have eternal life, John 3, verse 36. And that is to say, if you've done your part to believe that Christ died in your place, received him by faith as your Savior and your Master, which is only one. There's only one Father in heaven. There's only one Master. And that's Jesus. Then you can be sure that God has done his part and imparted to you his own nature. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. Oh, slam dunk. Ouch. I've got to read that one again. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, have escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. This is how they're getting past. Now up to 19 states out of 50 of homosexual marriage. Passing more states, especially Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is higher than the nation's Supreme Court. People don't know that. Yeah, buddy. And they got it passed through the Supreme Court. I mean, through the state of Pennsylvania. Uh-oh. And once they make it national, it's Katie, bar the door. You change the laws of the land. Takes away the opportunity of people to, it makes it open to sin. There's other sins as well. But right now, the one they're working on, through the lust, is same-sex marriage. Family, that will mess up a lot of children in the nuclear family. It does not work. There's not a balance there. And that's the plan. To get the children to pull away from the family structure, thereby educate the child to fit the new world order. And these millions that's doing this, that's involved in this, have no idea that they're working toward their own destruction and helping to set up the Great Tribulation. And certainly the takedown of America. That's been planned to break up the family for the longest time. Like a wildfire going on spread now, and it's not stopping. People ain't seeing it. They're all worried about other things, TV and golf and all this other nonsense. And they're not seeing it fall around, fall behind them, fall in front of them. And before they know it, this frog's cooked. Frog legs, anybody? Because it's coming. But if you're not yet sure that you have personally accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as your Savior, and you've not yet definitely surrendered your life to him and publicly confessed him as your Lord and Master, and you got to point your way to peace with God, somebody, you got to do it. Forgiveness of sins and the great joy of Christian living, you don't have that burden upon you. So now, I threw a lot at you tonight in that regard. Tomorrow night, part two, how to be saved. We'll go through how to be saved, discovery of sin, then the sorrow of sin in order, confession of sin, there goes pride, bye-bye, putting away sin, asking forgiveness for sin, more pride going bye-bye, consecration, faith, and then how to be a happy Christian. I got some steps I'll impart to you. We'll talk a little bit about water baptism. Tomorrow night. Also, I want to talk about later on this week, understanding the book of Joel. Right now, you're those that believe in Jesus Christ, going to church. I'm a patriot Christian, and I'm going to go out and kill me some people that bother us. Oh, really? Okay. Are using beating your swords into plowshares and taking your plowshares and beating them into swords and sell your cloak and buy a sword and all this, like Chuck Baldwin's coming up and all these other so-called theologians preparing people to fight and die and not being saved. There's something wrong with that picture. Well, they're using scripture, cherry-picking it, to justify killing. I guess God could turn anybody around. Sure turn me opposite, I'll tell you that right now. It's not what I trained to do, but certainly I say that all the wars have been orchestrated by design, on purpose. Literally, almost 75 to 100 years before they happened. We've never had a war in our history that was spontaneous because of fighting for liberty or fighting for democracy. They've all been pre-planned. History is pre-planned. I mean, aren't we taught that World War I started with Archduke Ferdinand getting shot? And then those rascals sunk the Lusitania? Boy, that really ticked us off. How dare they do that? Let's go kick some butt. Well, problem is, that's not what started World War I. Number two, the Lusitania, like the Maine, was orchestrated by J.P. Morgan and Churchill to massacre 1,201 lives to justify entry into World War I. Pearl Harbor was set up in 1920s by FDR and Churchill and the Japanese elite working together. You understand this? And then they lied about it years and years after. The evidence is clear on that. And then you say, well, we have the true history of America. Pearl Harbor, they knew and didn't tell anybody. Yeah. They still never tell the truth. Yeah, they know. Let's take a step further. Because they planned the darn thing. Churchill and FDR is responsible for the death of every Marine sailor in Pearl Harbor. Satan has been working hard through his Luciferian followers. Every war had been pre-planned for a purpose, nothing like what history books tell us. But they have to tell you now. They got to tell you the truth. Now people don't want to hear it. See how the conditioning works? Whew. But Jesus is coming soon. And the Jesus that we think we know looks like Jesus Christ of Nazareth is not the one in the photos, portraits, TV movies. That's the non-Emmanuel, fallen angel. And it's going to get ugly when he appears as Sananda Manuel, the fallen angel. The Bible has been misused and misinterpreted. I am the real creator, blah, blah, blah. Bringing on Maitreya, the second frog. Mm-hmm. And the third is the Antichrist. A man who might just be in Czechoslovakia with blue eyes, tall, martial looking, strong, very charismatic. It's not Raj Patel. It's not Obama. Matter of fact, well, I can't say a matter of fact. I'll leave that alone. But let me just hint something. Obama, clone, three of them. One of the clones is incarnated, Raziel. Let your imagination run wild with that one. A fallen angel taking on the cloned body of one of the three cloned bodies of Obama. An Akhenaten, a pharaoh. In 1985, they were able to clone a pharaoh. I'll leave it there. We'll talk about some of this tomorrow when we talk about the method of the disclosure and the externalization of the hierarchy in detail tomorrow. I laid part of the groundwork today at the broadcast, but the method that they're bringing in, the full externalization of the hierarchy, the fallen angels into our lives, according to their schedule, is year 2025. What I found very interesting was an article I found. I'm not going to go over it, obviously. But I found it in Time Magazine. What date is it? I don't know. This is in the front page of Time Magazine, too. Time Magazine is a part of the Illuminati and Council of Foreign Relations. It's like summer of last year. Dog, where's the date on it? Anyway, it was summer of last year. Oh, no, it wasn't. It was a fall, October the 7th, 2013. I got part of it right. I found it ironic that it's a college report on the class of 2025. And the year 2025 is their scheduled date for full externalization of the hierarchy. It's the year 2025. And by the year 2017, I've heard tell the possibility of Sananda Manuel or Maitreya coming around about 2017. But then again, we go back to Joel. Man plans, God laughs. Yeah, things are coming around. Matthew 24:42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And that's the appropriate lesson for tonight, the last 20 minutes here. Maybe part of it tomorrow, too. You see, Jesus is coming again. He says in John 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. Some people like to think that's planets. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. They sometimes call mansions as dimensions. Dimensional. They get all crazy about this stuff. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may also be. And what's his name? Jehovah? His name is I Am. Elohei, Elohei. I am that I am. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And then Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how we know the way. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. Henceforth you know him and have seen him. Right there he's saying he's God. If you've known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Seen him. He's saying he's God here. It goes on to talk about in John 14:4, 14:3, all the way down to, just keep going. He pretty much tells you he's God incarnated. When the Bible speaks of the coming of the Lord, it's not speaking of death, or it's not speaking of the coming of the Holy Spirit. It's speaking of the personal, visible coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What it's talking about. And not some UFO. You know, the time of Christ's ascension, the disciples stood there watching and gawking, wondering what in the world are we going to do? Stood watching him going to heaven, and two angels appeared to them and said in Acts 1:11, they said to him, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So how's it going to come? He'll come in the same manner which he ascended. Any questions? The disciples saw Jesus go back into heaven, and those that are living when he comes again will see him then, whatever generation that it may be. So when's he coming? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? What will happen when he does come? What will happen to the unbelievers and to the Christians when he comes again? So when is he coming? Does anybody know the exact time of the Lord's coming? Does anybody know the exact time? Do you know the exact time? Does anybody know? Question is, oh, yeah. Time up. It's a big no. Nobody knows when he's coming. But that day and hour knoweth no man. How much simpler and easier can that get? And yet everybody claims they know. They got CDs, they got books, they got formulas, they got books, newfound books here, newfound books there, scrolls found in old caves, and in dungeons and trash cans and caves, I don't know, whatever else. Sometimes you'll sit and watch a YouTube if you do that. I can't stand it, but people sit there for 2 hours and listen to some guy explain all these diagrams and pi times 2r², 6 by 4 blood moons, I don't know, whatever. And they just don't tell you a thing. Just wasted you 2 hours for nothing. Even Hagee and Mark Blitz, these people, they're no different. 4 blood moons. They got it all timed down. There's only one feast, and that's the Feast of Tabernacle. That's it. That's all. And there's no 4 blood moons. They're not there in the Bible. Now, you got eclipses along the way. Can they cause something to happen in one of the eclipses? Yeah, they can do that. But in the Bible, there's only one blood moon, and the sun's black as sackcloth. That's in Revelation 6, 12 to 17. And that's the tribulation period, mid-tribulation. That's when it gets ugly. So since we don't know exactly when he's coming, we should be ready if he's coming at all times. That's the key to it. Save your money on these CDs and DVDs and all this other nonsense. Because nobody knows and never can. It's impossible. Be always looking for the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. The word we all repeat, he's coming soon. Don't you know that Satan hears that through the demons that's around us? He doesn't know. He has no wisdom nor discernment. But God keeps him on edge, man. This is serious, man. For these fallen angels and Satan, they're kicked out of heaven. And they know there's no redemption for them. They knew. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. He's talking about human beings that don't know the supernatural. We don't have the dimensional capacity to understand hell or understand heaven. We don't have dimensional capacity. It's impossible. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Forgive them, Father. They don't have the dimensional capacity to understand the supernatural. And our lust of the flesh keeps us blinded. That's number two. So what are the signs of his time of the coming? So you'll know better what to look at. The signs on the way to the road that you're finally getting to the destination. You'll not know the day or the hour, but you may know the season based on the signs of the times. So what would they do? They'll try to fake the signs of the times, you see. Dead fish, dead birds, dead cows, hailstones fall in Texas and red rivers in Pakistan. And you got some of these preachers out here saying, oh, we got red river, blood red algae rivers are red. They're red. See, red. We're in the tribulations already, like Carl Gallup and all these others saying we're in the sixth trumpet. Bananas and baloney. Calvinists say they were already past the 7 years long ago. Some of them believe we're in the 1,000-year millennium already. It's already done. Everything, blah, blah, blah. It's impossible. And so you let your guard down. Don't they know this? Anyway. Though we cannot know the exact time when he comes, we do know he's coming soon. Satan hears this all the time. They're always on edge because for them, it's eternity in hell, in the burning fire of the lake of the burning fire for an eternity. They should have thought about it before they rebelled. They're sorry for it, but a little bit late because they knew. Wars, there's always been wars, but Jesus says that the end times would be marked by a great increase in the number of wars. He said, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And since World War II, I can't begin to tell you, hundreds of wars. Even today, you got this fake World War III in the Ukraine by Putin, and you got these radio broadcasters out there that say, we're in World War III, we're getting ready to do it, World War III. Or, and then they'll interchange it with Armageddon, they can't make up their mind. Gog and Magog can't make up their mind which is which. This is not World War III. The next war that we have is not World War III. The Antichrist must come first. The falling away and the Antichrist shall be revealed. That's the first seal. The second seal is World War III. But there will be signs and wars. but not yet. Famines, pestilence, and earthquakes. Famines they create, pestilence they create, earthquakes they create through HAARP and other methods. And then they blame God on it. He says, Jesus said, there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Never before in history have the scientists recorded so many earthquakes, certainly in the past year or 2 years and 20 years. But there'll be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places, but the end is not yet. Israel. 600 years before the time of Christ, Israel did not exist as a nation. Jews were scattered to the ends of the earth, and they know where they are. They say the lost tribes are no lost tribes. The Bible prophesied that God would bring his people back into the land in the last days, that the desert, which had lain barren for so long, blossom as a rose, it's not been fully fulfilled yet. Establishing Israel has, partial. Psalms 83 has been partially fulfilled, but not totally yet. The Jews there now are not real Jews. They're under the banner of the crest of Solomon, of the star of their god Moloch. The Star of David is an occult sign. That's a fact, the hexagram. And America, we're not doing much better. We have the pentagram. Muslims aren't either. They've got the half moon, which is the moon god Allah. And the star and their flag is Lucifer. Family, Satan is prince of this world. But they have used the tribe of Dan. They've used the Illuminati to establish Israel. Temporarily, fake Jews are there now. The real Jews, they've been protected. The Hebrew Israelites are yet to come out, and they're called the 144,000. And boy, they'd still like to find them. He used Hitler to try to find them, and he failed to do it. God turned them over to power lusts. They lost their control. They're trying to find the bloodlines of the Hebrew Israelites, but they'll never do it. It's impossible. Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus gave an even more specific sign of the end times concerning the city of Jerusalem. He said that Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of Gentiles be fulfilled. Luke 21:24. They lost the tasking of bringing the word of God to mankind. Therefore, we don't speak Hebrew. If they had fulfilled their time, we'd be speaking Hebrew today. But they lost it because they got scattered. They got disobedient. They're trying to get it back by the Hebrew Roots Movement, Christian Identity, Sacred Name Movement, Yahshua, Yahweh, all this nonsense. That's not the name of God. Jehovah is the name of God. Jesus is his name. And the King James Bible is the times of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles will then be judged because we've fallen away too. Jerusalem's been controlled by the Gentiles, those who are not Jews, for about 1,900 years or more. But in 1967, Psalms 83 was partially fulfilled. Israelis captured the city of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is now controlled by the Jews. It's a sign that the coming Lord Jesus is close. But they're not real Jews. The real signs of the Jews is the menorah, candlesticks. They didn't acquire the Star of David till the time of Hitler. Hitler studied Blavatsky. It was like a curse upon him. There will be 10 kingdoms. The Bible says that in the last days there will be a confederation of 10 nations out of what was the old Roman Empire. The European common market at one time appears to be fulfilling this. They've come up with several versions of this confederation. I've got a listing of possibilities, but We'll know when the time comes. Everything's divided into 10. The United States was divided into 10 regions in 1972. The Confederation will be 10 nations. Each one will have a king. They'll combine Mexico, Canada, and the United States into one, South America into two, Europe into three, Asia four, Scandinavian Union five, African Union six, Occident seven. The other about three more. 10 kingdoms. If they're in control, why not make it 12 or 9? They have to go by what the Bible says. Now, we're at the end. I'm going to do a rehash tomorrow. Remind me, those that know who I'm talking to. Tomorrow I want to talk about how to be saved. We'll do a little bit of a summary of what we talked about tonight quickly. And then we'll talk about in more detail how to be saved. It's very important tomorrow. And we'll complete Jesus coming soon. And we'll talk about the peace efforts, travel and knowledge, great wickedness in the nation and the world, and spiritualism, witchcraft, apostasy. Especially the apostasies in the churches. Well, this all comes together. I wasn't planning this. It's kind of like a program. What's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns? What's the great tribulation? And will you be ready? I guess I've thrown a lot at you tonight. But tonight's an important lesson, I do believe. Because it goes along with what we talked about last week. Kind of combines it. Well, family, y'all have a good night tonight. We're going to close and then we go back to our business on this Tuesday night. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together, Father. We thank you for the opportunity we have to do this Bible study now, and we thank you for this network that you've given us. We thank you, Father, most of all, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word. The King James Bible, that Father brings us the Word that we study. Father, we pray for our brethren, we pray for our influences and for ourselves to be strengthened in the Word of God. We pray more for studies in the future. And Father, to prepare us for the times to come. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, we got work to do. That time's coming. Right around the corner she comes. When? Don't know when yet. Everybody's asking me questions. I don't know, man. I don't have a crystal ball. Everybody asking you, what? Okay, from your studies, when do you think? I don't know. Man, I don't get into all that stuff. You know? It's when God's good and ready. That's his business, not mine. That's all his business. I got enough to handle my business. So, family, y'all get ready, though. Because Jesus is coming real soon. So, y'all have a good night tonight. And I appreciate y'all sticking by. Any comments, recommendations, or thoughts, send them to me. Things you think I should bring up. Oh, I do want to remind you that we are played out at the, or up, not out, but up in context. Highportradio.net. It's Highport Radio, www.highportradio.net by John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And he plays up in New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. He's got three towers, and he's growing, and he's got sponsors there, so give him a hand there and give him a call. And also KBLU Radio does simulcast on us on occasion and when he can, and it's out there at Blue Raven Network. And pray for him also that he recovers. Pray for us all. And just be ready. So y'all have a good night. And we'll see you all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And we'll talk tomorrow at 4 o'clock on the broadcast about details of externalization of the hierarchy, how these fallen angels have set this thing up, going back to the a long time ago, leading up to disclosure, exactly how they've been doing it, as it's documented from their own textbook. So have a good night. God bless, and this is The Watchman, signing off. Good night. Not that one. Sorry about that. Oops. Now don't fire me now. Y'all have a good night.